Our Father, who art in heaven.
Vater unser, der du bist im Himmel.
Gehütet du allgorn, schenun nimesi.
Venha o teu reino.
Budi volha toia.
Que ta volonté soit faite, sur la terre como ciel.
Give us this day our daily bread.
E odpusti nam duge nasche.
Non gino dia ke kem denin, kusenfen.
Und führe uns nicht in Versuchung.
Mas livra-nos do mal.
Vime ilendra tio.
For thine is the kingdom.
Sila sinun on valta kunta.
E slava e moch.
Und die Kraft.
Jendan rikyom.
Ian kaikisesti.
Para sempre.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer is Christianity's universal prayer. But why? What's in it that makes it so special? Find out now with Pastor Kurt Van Fossen.
Welcome back to this radio series on the Lord's Prayer. I'm Kurt Van Fossen. I am pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Ruislip, West London, where we hold services with Holy Communion every Sunday at 11 in the morning. Before the service, at 9:45, we have adult Bible study and Sunday school for children age 3 and above. We also have Bible studies throughout the week, and you're more than welcome to join us for any of these activities. For more information and contact details, find us on the ELCE's webpage at lutheran.co.uk. Last time I mentioned how easy it is for us to take the gift of prayer for granted, to place it low on our list of priorities. This, of course, is the work of our sinful nature, which is much more powerful and deceptive than we realize. Perhaps your sinful nature, like mine, has been successful in the past of even using excuses which seem to be founded on God's Word. For example, the Lord Himself reminds us in Matthew chapter 6 that He knows what we need even before we ask Him. Now, my sinful nature can reason from this that since the Lord already knows what I need before I ask Him, then why ask Him? Why pray? But such good news promises from God are not meant to discourage us from asking or praying for what we need, but to encourage us to pray all the more. By telling us that our Father knows what we need even before we ask Him, our Lord frees us from the burden of thinking that if we don't pray just right or use the right or enough words, the Lord won't know what I'm praying for or how to answer my prayers. I've heard people say, and I've said and thought it myself, that I'm not very good at praying. The Lord assures us that we don't need to worry or be discouraged about such things, since our Heavenly Father knows what's in our hearts, what we need, and how best to meet our needs. To enable us to fight against our sinful nature's reasoning, which tries to prevent us from praying, our Lord not only tells us and even commands us to pray, but more important, He promises to hear and answer our prayers in ways which far surpass all we ask or think. He also gives us His most perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Now, last time, I spoke about the introduction of the Lord's Prayer. The rest of Jesus' prayer includes nothing but petitions, 7 in all, which ask God for various things. But you may think to yourself, doesn't God want us to give Him thanks and praise instead of just asking Him for things? Well, sure, He wants us to thank and praise Him. And our actions, especially our prayers, are a great way to do just that. Have you ever been given a gift which you don't use? By not using that gift, you're most likely saying that you don't appreciate it. On the other hand, when we use a gift in the way it was intended to be used, we are most likely saying that we do appreciate and are thankful for it. Praying certainly demonstrates our faith in God's Word, where He tells us that we can do nothing without Him, but also that with Him, all things are possible. So we come to God for help, which is putting our faith into action, and an act of thanks and praise to God without even thinking about it. Out of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, I think on the surface, the first petition, Hallowed be thy name, is the least understood. What are we petitioning or asking our Father by these words? Luther's meaning helps us to better understand what we are praying here. Hallowed is another name for holy. So we pray, Hallowed or holy be thy name. What does this mean? Luther writes, God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. As Luther rightly points out, we are certainly not praying that God or His name would be kept holy. Everything about God and His name is and always will be holy without sin. It's also true that we who have been baptized and given faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior have also been made holy by the power of God. For our Lord promises that by becoming one with Christ in baptism and faith, our sins have been punished through death, His death, and we have been raised or given new and eternal life through His resurrection and His eternal life. So by placing His holy name on us in baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God makes us holy and ready for our heavenly home with Him. Thanks be to God. That's all good news. And while God certainly gives us peace in this good news of our eternal life in Christ, our Lord hasn't called us to our final resting place yet. And while we, like St. Paul, desire to depart and be with Christ in paradise, it's obviously God's will, at least for the moment, that we remain in this fallen world. Why do we who have already received the gift of eternal life in Christ remain in this fallen world? To the Philippians, Paul said, to remain in the flesh, referring to his sinful flesh and, I suppose, this sinful world, is more necessary on your account, speaking to the Philippians. Convinced of this, Paul continues, I know that I remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. We remain in this life not for our sake, but for the sake of others, for their progress and joy in the faith. And the best way God can use us to help others is by keeping His name holy in our lives. How is God's name kept holy in our lives? Let's read Luther's answer from the Small Catechism. God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Now, notice first of all in these words from Luther how he points out that keeping God's name holy in our lives is not the work of man, but the work of God. God, through His word, which is the truth, not only makes us holy, but He also keeps us holy. The more we read, hear, mark, learn, and inwardly digest His Word, the more we grow in our understanding of both the depth of our sins as well as the depth of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who has overcome our sins. While this naturally serves to benefit us and gives us more peace of mind, it also results in us leading holy lives according to God's Word. When God gives us faith in His Word, it naturally becomes evident in our lives. For to believe that God created us, that He loves us, and knows what is best for us, naturally leads us to want to live holy lives according to what God tells us is best for us. This includes turning away from those things that seek to separate us from Him, and instead wanting to share the good news of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ with others through our words and actions, through which God works to create faith in their hearts and keep them in that faith. Or as St. Paul says, for their progress and joy in the faith. But God's word and experience also reveals to us that because of our sinful nature, which still clings to us in this life, our best intentions of living according to God's word still fall far short. And anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us, Luther said. That's why the truest expression of our God-given faith is when God, through our faith, continues to bring us in repentance and faith to where God promises to be, to forgive, help, and protect us against all the schemes of the devil and our sinful nature, and thus to keep His name holy in our lives. That place is, of course, His Word and sacraments of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion, where He promises to be, to create and sustain saving faith in the good news of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And don't forget, when we pray this prayer, we are not only praying that God would do this for us, but we pray that He would do it for all people, especially those who will believe in Him. United and praying together in Christ, God works to make and keep His name holy in the lives of all people. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Kurt Van Fossen, pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Ruislip. Find us on lutheran.co.uk. If you have any questions or comments on this series, please send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. We would love to hear from you. We'll be back this time next week. In the meantime, check our program online and stay tuned. Goodbye for now, and God bless.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK. If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.